stupid, Ian.
So are we recording on three, or are we 1, 2, 3 record?
No. Nope. Yeah, see, that's why we count down. Then everybody knows. It's when you say go.
No, nope, making fun of Ian. Stupid Ian.
Took a while for that page to load. Alpha was in like the wind.
He's been looking.
So I saw Deadpool again last night.
Again?
Yeah. My normal movie crew wanted to go see it, so.
Sure.
I went along.
Who did you go with the first time?
Erica.
You and Erica?
Okay. Yeah, she wanted to see it.
Yeah, we went and saw it, I don't know, over the weekend? No, Friday? Friday. We were the only people in the theater.
It was fine.
Yeah. Well, we can go during the day, so.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that helps.
Actually, I think another group came in. I think like 3 or 4 people came in, but they were quiet and I barely knew they were there, so. Track and field trained me for this. Yeah. You're sitting there.
Yeah, I don't know who's all listening, if they've all seen it or not, but just saying there's one character that I really wish, you know, he had gotten his own movie, because God, I love the way he talks. You're gonna have to edit that cursing out.
I did not realize that Batroc was in Deadpool and Wolverine.
That's right. It's totally Batroc. Very heavy French accent.
There were a lot of cameos.
You know what bugged me now that I thought about it? So there's like a preview, you know, the good old preview.
I just realized who you were talking about. Sorry.
Yeah. the preview before the movie where they tell you, you know, to turn off your phone and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And they censor all the F-bombs and stuff in it. I'm like, there's like 160 F-bombs coming up in this movie. Do we really need to edit out the ones in the thing that tells me not to use my cell phone?
Are they expecting to use it before non-other movies? Yeah.
I can't imagine.
I wouldn't think so, but you know.
That screams the studio went, but we might, so we're going to do it this way.
Well, you know, you had it unedited. You could play the non-edited version in front of that movie and have an edited version for other movies. I don't know.
I'd have to say I it wasn't an A+ for me.
No.
But it was a solid, it was an A.
Like, it's a good movie.
I enjoyed it a lot. Yeah.
Like I said, there was, you know, a couple of cameo things that I very much enjoyed, and then the rest of it was okay.
There were a ton of cameos, but there were a couple that were awesome.
Yeah, the one I mentioned earlier made my day.
Right.
And it was beautiful. And I don't think this is really a spoiler, but, you know, comic book accurate height Wolverine is the best.
The different timeline Wolverines?
Yes.
That was good.
That's what I mean. The one that's
It didn't
really...
take over the movie, but it was just enough to give you a taste. It was done well.
Because I had to look it up again, because I always forget how tall Wolverine isn't.
So. Right.
5'3" is Wolverine.
He puts the low in Logan.
That's, you got that right. All right, we ready to do this thing?
No, but let's go ahead.
Sure.
All right. Welcome to the 431st installment of the Puzzle Warriors 3. I'm here. Ray's here. Ian is off in some foreign country somewhere drinking cocktails, I'm sure. So instead, we've got Sam right here.
Having fish nibble at his feet.
I have heard that. I don't ever want that to happen to me. I don't like my feet being touched, and I don't want small little critters taking bites out of my feet.
Yeah, Karen showed me the image of him and his wife getting it like showed me the image, and I'm like, all right, that's cool. They're getting a pedicure or whatever. And she's like, now look close at the fish in the tank. And I'm like, ah, and I immediately thought of the something touched me.
Yes. There's a reason I don't swim in oceans and rivers and things. I don't go where critters live, and I don't intentionally want them to rubbing up against my feet.
And
no, thank you. Yeah, that is nasty.
Anyway, you should probably introduce our third.
I did. You just talked over me.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Like I say, so Samurai's here.
Hello.
Sitting in for Ian. And we'll see what we get into here. This is the week of August 7th through the 15th. In the 7-day 4-star crash. Hey, so talking about last week's, I finally finished that one after, like, I think 9 attempts.
Oh, really? It took you...
The game refused to give me any blue, like, over and over again, and I was getting really angry.
Sure. And you need it. You just can't... You can't win without it.
Like, as much boost as I could get, it still only got you, like, halfway there. So, it was brutal. But it finally did win.
Nice.
It took me two tries, and then I got the blue necessary to get the bong lock, and yeah, just you keep her stunned, and that's about the only thing you can do.
Yeah, because otherwise you lose. This week, it is Polaris versus Teen Gene, and while I was excited that on turn one I did not have a match five, it waited until turn two to taunt me with a match five. I got whooped in my one attempt today.
What?
Oh, really?
How?
There were no special characters like on the board that I could match. Like I couldn't do anything with them.
I guess if you get the world's unluckiest special tile placement, yeah. But I mean,
My Polaris made one special tile, and then when Jean did her thing and made hers, they were off by each other in corners with no colors around them that matched them.
Wow.
And I looked at it and went, huh. What am I going to do about this? So I just tried to move things around, and by the time I moved things around, the constant, attack tile just whooped me.
Huh.
So
yeah, I had two match fives at the beginning of the fight.
Of course.
And I'm like, nah, I'm just going to match it, because I don't care.
Yeah.
And that was all the damage I took.
Wow.
I matched that, she stunned me, and then did something, and then I got a tile put out and immediately got blue and just whooped her, no problem. And then Spider-Woman was nothing.
See, I the devs might be slipping. I did not get a match five at the start of my Teen Gene. I got them at the start of my Spider-Woman match. I was
that seems like a foul.
Y'all getting lazy here.
And then, because I went in this morning because I wanted to, or this afternoon here when I was making the script, because I couldn't remember who it was. And I'm like, who was I fighting? And then I realized that I hadn't played Puzzle Quest Monday or Tuesday. And I'm like, oh.
That's weird. You didn't show up as missing in the Alliance.
I did not play Deadpool Daily the last 2 days, apparently, because I did not know that Polaris was fighting anybody.
I will also give a shout out to Ian. I think he's only missed like 1 day since he's been on vacation.
Whoa.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, Monday night I had to work late, and then Tuesday I went to the movies, and yeah, things just got... Anyway, next week it looks like it is Pirate Kate versus Legion.
Okay. Do not let him get black.
Mm. Yeah, Alpha says you did miss the 1 day. Apparently I missed it. Okay.
I thought I missed too, because...
Way to rat him out, Alpha.
Well, he said it himself.
I was pretty sure I missed Monday and Tuesday.
I generally don't pay attention if people miss a day. I mean, we have the play every day rule, but, you know, whatever. Life comes, I understand. I don't remember Legion. Black, huh?
Okay. Black's the invisibility.
Okay. I'll try and keep that in mind.
Just about everything else you can usually recover from for a couple of turns. But yeah, if he gets invisible and that tile gets wedged somewhere where you can't get to it, I don't think Kate has any AoE. I haven't played a whole lot with her. Now, she's got special tile dweepage, and she's got some damage dealing countdown. So yeah, you're going to want to make sure he does not go invis.
Right. We might message Ian. I don't know if level 78 Kate Pryde is going to be able to pull this off against Legion. But he's got her at a 5-4-4, so he could level her up. He could even champ her if he has the stuff. But
right.
I don't know. I don't know what his ISO situation is. I would not necessarily.
Yeah.
Like 120 maybe, but that's not the character you want to cash in your ISO on. Especially,
right.
Especially when he's got an Okoye that he could level a little bit and not mess up his MMR, even though he never actually plays PvP. But one of these weeks I'll sit here and help Ian with his roster and we'll make a show of it.
Somebody probably should.
Let's see. In Story World, is Beat Rocket and or Groot is running again?
Again?
Yeah.
It's a good one. I'm not complaining.
Are others you can complain about.
Yeah.
And exactly. I think Craig's about to make me complain about one, so go ahead.
Yeah, you get Kamala Khan, you get Deadpool, you get some Kane shards. Placement is Lady Octopus and Phoenix Jujubes there. Wait, what am I complaining about? I didn't even list anymore.
Oh, no. You know what's coming up next after Meet Rocket and Groot?
No, I never remember what comes up next.
It's another run of Deadpool versus MPQ!
Which I am okay with, because it does give you like a little bit of a break. Like, you know, because it's two-day events, right? Yeah, we've seen it a lot.
I hate two-day events. It throws off my cycle. It throws off my...
sure.
Like, it hurts you a little bit in reward. Now, I'm post ISO, so it's not going to be as big a deal for me, but for some of the folks out there who are still trying to claw as much ISO as they can to to build their roster. Yeah, two-day events are annoying, and I don't
it's
think
just
they
a dry spell.
Yeah, I don't think they fully compensated for the daily node loss that comes with that.
So you said you're post ISO. I don't know what that means, because at one point I had almost 13 million ISO, and now I have like 5.7 million ISO. So I've lost like nearly 7 million, not lost, used. It's dwindling. Like I still have plenty, but it's not going up anymore.
I'm not 100% certain. Like, so about 2 years ago, or about three years ago, I peaked at 18 million. About a year and a half ago, I got down to about, I want to say about 8 million, and now I'm back up to 16.
I've got 600,000.
Yeah, so I don't know if there's a point where, and you're sort of where I am in roster development, Ray. You're not having to constantly throw into anything unless it's a new character.
Right.
Maybe it's just I'm playing a little more than other folks.
Well, you're probably playing more than me. I rarely play PvP at all, so
yeah. I don't play PvP like, you know, there was a time a few years ago where I was trying to hit 900 with every with every PvP event, because I was in a hybrid top 100. The wonderful folks over in the Aegis group, I'm in a situation now where, like, I don't necessarily have to play PvP, and my personal goal is to usually get to about 300, 400 and then stop. Like, my goal is to get to the 4K for the season. So I'm not doing as much as I used to, but I also, like, even in spite of not doing the PvP, I'm still, like, just gaining ISO faster than I can spend it.
Sure.
You guys also have stupid amounts of hero points and command points too, right?
I'm not post hero points. I might as well be, because I am just about to hit 50,000.
Cool.
I know there are folks around here who like go, oh, that's cute. You only have, you know, 50,000 hero points. You only have, you know, 14,000 command points.
I've got 8,000 hero points, and I think that might be the most I've ever had.
Yeah, sounds like it.
And I'm up to 1,000 command points, which I never thought I'd see that many.
Well, it sounds like you're also post ISO, like 600,000. That's a nice little cash.
Oh yeah, but my characters aren't all max as high level as they can be. Not even close.
All right, so you're not post ISO. But
I mean, I tend to not put any ISO into characters until I can champ them, and then I just give it to them all at once.
Right.
So I tend to go, you know, low and then dump it all, and then, you know. All right. I was just curious. In PvP, it's still the Quaid season. Tough Luck is running. That gets you She-Hulk. Domino, placement is Annie Torch, and the good old Iron Man 46. Haven't seen that for a while.
Yeah.
I was surprised by that one. In the news, hey, we got a new character. What was it, Archbug? It turns out the high bug is actual Annihilus, the 4-star cosmic enhanced multiversal non-human technologist villain. That's a lot of words.
I'm going to put him on the sheet. What colors I see?
Does it not show me? It's definitely blue.
Blue, green, black.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, let's look at these powers. What do we got? Blue, Lord of the Negative Zone. Well, that sounds good. 6 blue. Select up to 2 friendly scavenger trap tiles and immediately trigger them. Well, if I knew what those did, that might be more useful. All right. Passive, at the start of the turn, whenever Nihilus fires an ability, create a scavenger trap tile that stuns the target for 2 turns when matched by the enemy, and creates 2 strength, 14 attack tiles when matched or destroyed by Nihilus's allies. So it says trigger them. Does that mean to trigger them as if the enemy triggered them, or trigger them as I trigger them, where I'm just getting attack tiles out of it?
At the beginning of your turn, and whenever he fires off one of his powers, you create a trap tile, stuns the target for a couple turns.
But only when matched by the enemy.
When matched by the enemy.
If I do it, it looks like it creates...
Okay, so... It
attack tiles.
This is actually a fun ability. I like their design theory. It's making trap tiles useful whether you're playing against enemy PCs or enemy NPCs, because enemy characters will have a chance to match it, and if not, you build up enough blue, you can fire it to make the trigger tiles the tiles trigger against goons.
Right, but here's my question. But when I trigger it, is it trigger it as if they matched it and they are stunned, or does it trigger it as if I matched it and I get the attack tiles?
The triggering, the way I read it, the triggering is it when a trap is sprung, it fires off a stun and creates the attack tiles.
No. It stuns when matched by the enemy. It creates two attack tiles when matched or destroyed by Annihilus's allies.
Yeah.
Right. What it's saying is...
It's not both.
The trigger effect is the scavenger trap, when it is triggered, stuns the target for two turns and creates two 14 attack tiles.
No. It does one thing when the enemy does it and a different thing when I do it.
Well, no, it does one thing when the enemy does it, or it does both things when the enemy does it, and it does...
No, that's not how I'm reading that.
No, Craig is right.
So my question still is, so when I...
I hate to admit it, but...
when I trigger it, which event, am I getting the stun, or am I just getting these lame little attack tiles?
We may need to ask Sokun about that.
Because I it does not seem clear to me.
In fact, I would almost be willing to bet ISO that this has already been answered on the other Discord, and I will go look for it after we're done recording.
Yeah. All right, let's move on then. The Green Power, Living Death That Walks. Oh, I like that name. Destroy a 2x2 block of tiles and deal damage for each basic tile destroyed. Destroyed tiles do not deal damage or generate AP. The target loses all burst health.
Mm.
Oh.
Well, that's a new effect.
Mm. Yeah.
Interesting. Passive, whenever you match or destroy a special tile, burst heal Annihilus. Whenever a character goes down, burst heal Annihilus for Samar.
Hmm.
That healing goes up, but it's not enough to make it worthwhile, so really I guess you're more relying on that do some things and take away people's burst health.
I don't know. If you have it at level 5, let's say at 270, it's burst healing for 1,000 health for every special tile that gets matched away. That can add up pretty quickly.
Yeah, a champed with 5 covers in green, those numbers are just about in line with what you're wheeling and dealing with in 4-star territory.
I mean, it's not extraordinary.
No.
But
all right, let's see what...
So far it looks like a 5-3-5, but let's see what the...
Yeah, I agree. Just to read it real quick. The Black Power, Null Void Field. Activate the Null Void Repeater and deal damage to the enemy team for each column it is expanded to. All right, well, tell me about this with 3-meter. Passive. At the start of the turn, if one does not exist, create a one-turn null void field... That's hard to say. Null void field repeater that removes all enemy special tiles from the first column on Annihilus' side of the board. This expands to the next column each time the repeater activates. When it expands to 8 columns, destroy all the special tiles, then shuffle the board and deal damage to the enemy team and Annihilus' team. Destroyed tiles do not deal damage or generate AP. So it starts out, since we're, as the player, we're always on the left.
All right.
So it's going to start in the far left column and says destroys all enemy special tiles on that first column. And then each turn it moves one board to the right. But when it gets all the way to the right, it destroys all special tiles. So I guess this cleans up the ones that get made behind you in the columns that it's already been through.
And it
as well.
And it blows up itself and yeah. So
and then does about 6 times more to the enemy team than it does to you.
At the 270, 370 marks, the damage is reasonable for an AoE.
Let's see. Yeah, if you... what are you at 370? At 18 damage to enemy 18 for each column. At 8 columns, deal 14,000 to the enemy team and 2,800 to Annihilus' team. Okay, that's not a horrible trade.
It's a fun power. It's a great new timing mechanic.
Yeah, we never had a thing that kind of... Well, I guess is it the aim goons that move things across the board? And
so slowly.
But like Lizard and Monica have things that move up and down, and right. Doc Ock occasionally has a countdown that will do things in stages.
And it looks like if you've got 5 black, you can keep moving it faster, right? Because it says you activate it.
Yeah. Here's the only problem with this power.
Or is it just do the damage?
There's one specific word missing from this entire ability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not fortified.
Exactly.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, it's going to get matched away a lot. I guess that's why you want to have the 5 black to make the damage happen.
I could see her being paired with Domino a lot.
Is this a she? I don't know nothing about Annihilus. Nope, it's a he.
Yeah, okay. Well, I could see Annihilus being paired with Domino a lot. And Blue Wolf points out supports. There are ways of achieving a fortified, but on its face, having to do some extra hokage dweepage to get that fortified tile.
Mm. Mm, throw it in with like Green Goblin, who will automatically fortify
or Hawkeye, or yeah.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Let's see what we got. Then apparently there will be covers and shards, an event token and progression rewards of Deadpool and Wolverine versus MPQ coming starting tomorrow. The Welcome to S.H.I.E.L.D. is running the 11th to the 16th, and then appearing some more in the Simulator running the 12th to the 15th. Everyone loves Simulator. Versus is called True Negativity, it appears, running the 8th to the 12th. And then there's also some rewards in Sharp Dress. That's the patch one, right?
True Negativity. Is that going to be the name of the event or the comments on the forum?
The Annihilus and Foes Vault running the 13th to the 16th. One Annihilus, one Annihilus Torch. So double Annie. And then a random 4-star in there as well.
Well, I am glad they included Torch. If he's going to be called Annihilus, yeah. I mean, yeah.
He is a nihilist. He believes in nothing.
I do like the, I always enjoy, well, not, that's not true, but I usually enjoy the new ways of making things happen, like the new construct of board manipulation.
Yeah.
So
let's see how it plays. I mean, I'll have to, you know, at least nothing else use it during the shield thing, the whatever it's called. I've already forgotten the name of the events. Welcome to S.H.I.E.L.D. That's what it's called.
Sure.
Okay. A set of wet. That is clever. He said they could have paired Mr. Negative with Annihilus in PvP and called it Double Negative. The whole event cancels itself out. Nobody wins anything.
That's usually what I win in PvP anyway, so it's okay.
Well played, Clerks.
All right, that's what I got for the news. Hey, and a weird, now that you said Clerks, it sparked something in my brain. Sorry.
Hmm.
I was watching an episode of that 90s show the other day.
Okay. I'm sorry. But
and there's an episode where a car drives into Kitty and Red's house. And coming out of the said car is Jay and Silent Bob, where Silent Bob is apparently Leo's son.
Okay.
It was very bizarre.
I'm sorry. I think I rebooted. What?
Yeah. A car crashes into Red and Kitty's kitchen, and out comes Jay and Silent Bob out of the car.
Right.
And Silent Bob is, however, not silent, and he talks to Leo, who is apparently his dad, because Leo's there in the kitchen as well.
Okay.
It was not a crossover that I was expecting in any way.
Right.
And I don't know how that happened, but I was like, all right.
I'm going to have to go back and look for this episode.
What is that show? I think it's on Netflix. It's on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Now, I think it's this season's episode, like, or maybe it's last season's episode. I think it might be season two, but I don't know. What do you guys like for the news? Anything?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think we're good.
All right.
Are you asking for news or local news or?
Sure. I had to listen to people talk about getting a stupid liquor license for Buffalo Wild Wings for like an hour.
Wait, you still having to go to those meetings?
Yes.
I thought that was part of your.
Well, they still haven't hired someone to take my job yet, so I can't get rid of my current job until they hire someone to take it.
So now we know what's going to happen is they're never going to fill the position. You're going to be stuck there.
It's possible. It's possible.
Now, I had a wonderful meeting last week with the some folks from Wawa because they're, you know, getting ready to open stores in town. And they came to the team that uses our stadium and, you know, we're doing like a meet and greet and whatnot. And they were like, by the way, our store's open September 19th. So I have a Wawa 9 blocks from my house in like a little over a month. So I'm excited.
That's no Sheetz.
We've already got a Sheetz, but now we have a Wawa and a Sheetz.
Do you have a Rutter's?
No, I'm not familiar with Rutter's.
Yeah, you're gonna need to get a Rutter's. I'm not a Wawa. Wawa doesn't do anything for me.
Mrs. Samurai is big on Wawa because they were a presence in Baltimore, being that close to Philly, and she loves the Wawa coffee.
Okay. Let's move on. Then where are we at? This week then. Samurai, you ready?
No, but yes.
Okay, this week on It's Always Sunny, a woman's rate the chop.
Yeah, so, 3-star magic, the Dark Child, which, I'm sorry, they spell it like she's a groupie of wild stallions. So, I'm going to try and go through, she's kind of complicated, she's a little more complicated than a 3-star has any right to be. I'm going to throw in a lot of numbers at you just like this segment normally does. Any of the absolute values I mention are going to be for a max 3-star at 266, because that's what I have her at. You know, the actual mileage may vary because, you know, between champing and whatnot, you know, the numbers are always a little bit off, but y'all will get the sense of what's going on. So we're going to start with her black power because she is black, red, purple. her first power is Drag Me to Limbo. This is a passive in both of its forms. In her base form, her black matches do more damage. Whether you have it at 3, 4, or 5 covers, it's going to do 150%, 200%, 250%. If you have more than 10 black AP at the start of your turn, she shuffles the board, which Craig always loves, and she shifts the battle to Limbo and switches to all of her alt powers. Her alt black is called Demon Queen of Limbo. Again, pure passive. With the Dark Child's power unleashed, she puts up a whole lot of goth band posters on her wall, and she gets stronger at the expense of her teammates. Teammates are going to take a small amount of damage at the start of the turn. 321 up to 535 if you have 5 covers. That's not an appreciable amount of damage, even at the 3-star tier. You can deal with it unless your battles run long. Really, what it ends up doing is if you spend a lot of time with her Demon Queen active, it's really a tax on health packs if you're trying to push through PvE. Then there's her red power. This is her Hey Sister Soul Sword Sister. She fires it off for 6. She brings her sword to bear. It's going to do 3 things. It's going to deal a little bit of damage. It's going to convert a number of random basic tiles to black strike tiles. And then it's going to convert a number of enemy special tiles to basic black tiles. So there's a lot of board shuffle there. The base damage that the Soul Sword deals in her base form, not going to be that significant. It's like 427 up to 536 at 5 covers. From going from 3 to 4 covers, that's the break point. She gets she goes up to having 4 random basic tiles go to black strike tiles. At max covers, she goes from 2 to converting 3 enemy special tiles to basic black. So I tend to like this power having max covers because, you know, my playstyle is board shuffling is like one of the biggest things you can do short of dealing a massive amount of damage. The more board shuffling, the more board manipulation, the more cascading you cause, the better off you're going to be eventually. Anyway, when her alt power is activated, Corrupted Soul Sword gains a passive ability. At the start of a turn, if there isn't one already, you get a 2-turn repeater tile. Regardless of how many covers, it's going to create a certain number of strength 300 tiles. When you actually fire off the ability for 6, it's going to deal a significantly larger amount of damage than the base form. It's going to deal it as permanent damage, and it's going to ignore enemy protect tiles. The secondary effect of the alt soul sword is that it destroys a certain number of enemy special tiles, as opposed to converting them. It also is going to drain 2 black AP, regardless of how many covers you have, every time you fire the power. At 3 covers, that damage is about just over 2,000. At 5 covers, it's going to be just shy of 3,500. It goes from destroying 2 enemy special tiles up to 4 at max covers. And it also is creating 3 to 4 strength tiles. So really, really solid ability. Finally, we've got its purple, Dark Magic. It's going to deal a certain amount of damage, and it's going to convert a number of random basic tiles to black. At 3 covers, it's dealing 850 damage. At 5 covers, it's dealing 1,200. There's also a break point at 5 covers where it goes from doing 5 random basic tiles to 7. So that's pretty solid. The passive ability on Dark Magic is that when the enemy team makes a black match, your team gains a certain amount of black AP, and magic gets a certain amount of damage resistance from matches and abilities from enemies with the supernatural trait. At 3 covers, it's just you're getting 1 black every time they match, and you've got a base of 30% damage resistance. At 5 covers, you're getting 2 every time they match, which is, you know, pretty good, 1-for-1 return, close to a 1-for-1 return, and it's going up to 45% damage reduction. When this becomes an alt power, it becomes Dark Child Magic, and she fires off her curse. It's going to deal 1,588 damage, which isn't a lot. It's not much of an increase, but it also is going to convert some basic tiles to crits. From 3 to 5 covers, you're getting 1 extra. You're getting 1, 2, and 3 crit tiles. So at 5 covers, you're creating a non-inconsiderable amount of crit tiles. It's also going to come with a passive where every turn, when an enemy makes a match in her strongest color, or a friendly AP is destroyed or stolen, she casts the counter curse. You're going to deal a small amount of damage, somewhere between about 150 to 300, depending on your covers. She's also going to gain a charge. This is not charge tiles. This is a charge system that's within this ability. At the start of the turn, she will convert one random basic tile to a crit for every charge that she has. So the more matches that the enemy makes in her strongest color, or if it's tied strongest colors, she's going to start converting more and more basic tiles to crits. There's a number of characters that she teams up pretty well with this for. And she also, in her alt form, gets significantly better damage resistance. Instead of like going from 30 to 45, it goes from 40 to 50. All right, so that's a whole lot of throwing different stuff out at you. What this means is, in the 3 and 4 star tier, absolutely, no question, she's a 3-5-5. In the 5 star tier, I can see very specific arguments for making her 5-4-4 and for making her 5-3-5. The breakpoints on the number of tiles she converts make it worth occasionally messing with, but for the most part, you definitely always want to keep the purple in the 5 category, just because of the sheer volume of crits that you're going to end up making. I think at the moment mine is at 5-4-4 because I was testing something with her, but I will say with a lot of great pain, all four of us have 4 different builds.
Yep.
Craig is correct.
That's right. Look at that.
I can almost guarantee that Ian's just fell that way.
Yeah.
And mine is a 5-3-5 because I'm not using her red. Like, I play in 5-star land. I don't, I'm not firing her red. There's so many better reds.
No, yeah, absolutely. That's why I said, like, in 5-star land, if she were ascended...
It
might be worth messing with the black more, and that's kind of what I was thinking with the 5-4-4 build. Is if you get her ascended to 5 stars, she might have a place where she would, you know, a 250% increase in match damage can be a huge swing at those levels.
Yeah,
but you know, it's gonna be a while before I get a 3-star up quite that level. But so yeah, That's 3-star magic. Whole lot of making black and spitting out crits and fighting round the limbo.
Nice.
Spitting out crits like the rhymes. Well, that was so many words. My brain is on reboot at the moment. All right, so where are we at? Was there anything in the mailbag, Willie? How about that?
Yes, there was. First, I would give a shout out to Alpha for following up with us and giving more thoughts on the musical game that he suggested last week. I did forward that to Craig and Ian. Still not sure how it's going to work out. We're going to have to talk to Ian, but I like where you're going. Also, on, I believe this was over on the subreddit, Jeff Duggan.
Hey-o.
Says, he asked, did the part where something was going to be said at /2 Samurai get edited out after the live show? There was a weird skip around that time in my feed. I'll be honest, I didn't go back and look for when you were talking about. I do recall there was a weird, this like something happened in Discord. We commented about it, and if you didn't have Discord up and listening to the live show, it probably didn't make sense. But I didn't edit it out because then I'd have to like edit out that whole conversation, and it just didn't. It didn't really work.
Yeah, you generally don't want to have to edit things unless I forget to leave my mic on and I have to screen something across the house. Was it last show where we were having trouble with Ian randomly getting dumped and having to come back on?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So yeah. It could have been something with that. Like I said, I try to do my best to make it make sense, but maybe there was a sentence like, you know, that ended too early or something. If you want to give me a timestamp, I'll take a listen, but I'm probably not going back and change it yet at this point. he also did say in regards to Scrabble versus Chinese checkers, it's one of the several opening round games that pits two weak entries against each other. I love crossword puzzles, but Scrabble is not a test of your vocabulary. It's a test of how many things derisively nicknamed Scrabble words that you know. Upwards is pretty close to a strict upgrade, and even that's a bit weak. I won't go so far as to say that neither of these games deserve a place in the bracket at all. It seems like you just did. but Scrabble is the lesser evil in this instance. Interesting. Mm.
I agree with him. Having played casually, like semi-casually with somebody who was an aspiring tournament Scrabble player, the meta is very much, I need to memorize all of the 2, 3, and 4 letter words that start with Q and Z.
Mm.
I need to perfect exactly when to bingo my shelf to drop everything at once for the bingo bonus. And yeah, Hasbro announced not too long ago that they are going to put out a new version of Scrabble with some different rule sets that don't use the standard scoring because they want to try and shake up the play environment a little bit. And it's just sort of responding to changes in the way people play games these days. Imagine right. that, Hasbro actually being responsive to its players for once. But
so we're going to start having words like Riz be okay?
Well, no, it's more of the how things get scored.
I'm saying it should be, a Gen X word is worth this many points, a millennial word is worth this many points, a Gen Z word is worth this many points.
And if you can remember obscure 19th century slang, it's worth quadruple score.
That's right.
Old people for the win. I just don't know why we can't play Scrabble and we just put words on a board. Like, stop trying to metagame it.
Sluggo loses the game right now. No, Skibidi is not worth nothing.
Skibidi?
I had to explain that to somebody at the museum a couple of weeks ago, and my soul hurt. I took soul damage. I'm not resistant to soul damage.
So, in any case, appreciate the feedback on the board games. If you want to go vote, I don't know. I think I closed it out. I recorded where the vote is, and I think we're just going to close it out for this week. But next week will be a brand new board game. So, in any case, that's all we've got in the mailbag. So, hey, thanks, Willie.
Thanks, Willie.
Thanks, Willie.
We're going to skip ahead for the board games and wait for Ian's return. Board games are his jam.
We will dispense with the puny board games so that we can bring in Hans and Franz.
Oh, Ray, remind me. I got to talk to Ian about whether or not he wants to go to Gen Con next summer. And there's a possible of going to PAX, whatever, in Philly in December.
I'm having trouble with what that is. What's
it's,
in Philly?
It's a board game called PAX Unplugged. PAX,
oh, okay. Yeah.
Penny right. Arcade Expo.
So that's coming up in December. And our California friend will be at both of those events.
Oh, nice.
Working in his new head of board game studio endeavor. So
seems even more likely.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to try and get down to Philly in December. It's like the first week of December. So I think I'm going to try and get down there and then try to plan to get to Indy next July for Gen Con as well. So just want to start people plan ahead.
Sure.
All right. We got to skip... we got to do boosted characters. I forgot. Where are we at?
Yeah, I was setting that up, and then you derailed us magnificently.
Right. Yeah, I do that. So once again, then, I am Hans.
And I am Franz. And we just want to pump you up.
I heard a partial clap.
Discord's muting powers cannot repel claps of my magnitude. All right, so we've got a boosted list this week. 3 stars. Blade. Yeah, his Night Stalker's going to deal some more damage, keep enemies closer, some buffer attack tiles, and Thirst will throw out some bigger strikes. Oh, Fabio Klops. His Optic Blast and his Bigger Blast are going to deal more optic damage. Luke Cage, he's gonna hit harder with his uppercut and his jab cross.
He's upper crest.
And his Unbreakable... Damn it. The projectile is not strong as hell, but it will be a little bigger. Rocket and Groot, RG3. I Am Groot is going to provide some better healing. Blammo is going to throw out some more damage per tile. And I Got a Plan is going to throw out some bigger strikes. And finally, Squirrel Girl rounds off this tier. Bigger they are is still completely effing useless, but the projectiles will be bigger if for some reason you absolutely have to fire off that power to not die. I hate powers that end the turn. Nuts from Above is going to deal more damage plus more per enemy SAP tile, strike, attack, protect. And then Furry Friends is going to deal more damage per squirrel. In the 5-star tier, we've got a lovely list this week. Gamora.
What's wrong with 4-star tier?
What did I say?
I heard 5-star.
Oh, yep. Well, five stars is pretty good too. We'll get to that in just a minute. We'll go on to the four stars because
I thought I had missing time there for a second.
Gamora, deadly strike, more damage, and then more damage from the countdown every turn. Deadliest woman, bigger attack and strike tiles. No changes to the insta kill, and stunning from the incapacitate is going to create a larger attack or strike tile. Mockingbird. She got bigger bombs because you want to make gravy without the lumps. And no changes to opportunist because it's just AP shuffling. And then secret mission, the conditional passive can boost friendly match damage. Sandman, did he get a rework? I don't remember.
Yes, at some point.
Yeah, I thought he did.
Okay. He's still got his AoE. Shifting sands doesn't make any significant changes because I think it's just AP going around. And Sand Smash is going to do some bigger protect tiles and more damage if you can actually fire it off. I think they changed some of the costs and some of the numbers, but I think the basic powers are still the same. Ooh, Vulture. Circling Prey doesn't change. It doesn't need to. It's one of the best powers in its tier. One Fell Swoop. The countdown's going to throw out a bigger AoE. And Hybrid Tech Slicer is going to do an appreciably increased amount of damage. Finally, we have Yondu. Yaka Parachute is going to restore some more health with the countdowns. Ravager's Ruse going to drop some bigger strike tiles. And Centaurian Archery, Yaka Assault is just going to just deal insanely more damage. Now, finally, we get to the five-star tier. We start with the High Evolutionary. Iteration's going to throw out some more damage, plus more per research counter. Missing Link, there's no changes to the percentage-based buffs that it throws out, but if you look at High Evolutionary, the character says it changes in the difference in levels up to level 550. That is an absolute value.
Right.
Therefore, doesn't that mean that if it's boosted, that the character will base match damage will be based on the difference in levels up to something higher than 550? All I'm saying is that means that there is a character level higher than 550. Six-star Batrock confirmed.
I didn't think that's what you were saying at all, but okay.
It's just one of those weird, you know, that's technically the way it works, and I don't know if they remembered to put that in as text or an integer value.
Right.
I'll be curious to see how they did that. Oh, and Unnatural Selection, there's no changes because the perma damage and the match buff are all percentage based. Kang, not a whole lot to say here other than more damage, more damage, more damage, more damage. Five star magic. The Limbo on Earth repeaters are going to deal more damage to a random enemy. Her five star soul sword is going to do more damage, and the repeaters are going to do more damage. And by the way, that all that damage is permanent. And her Phoenix Claws are going to deal more permanent AoE. She would be a strong candidate for best of the boosted list if it weren't for something else I'm going to talk about after I round out this list with Peggy. Stiff upper lip, more damage. Plus the passive's going to deal some more per charge tile. Don't say I didn't warn you. It's only going to deal slightly more damage, but the passive is going to make bigger strike tiles. And then the Calm before the Storm. The Calm's repeater is going to deal more damage. The storm is going to throw out more damage per charge tile destroyed. So, this is a pretty good list all around, but there is one trio of characters that is really standing out to me this week, and it just so happens to be because I have this team saved. Vulture and Kang are a pretty strong combo. I run Vulture and Kang with Deathlock sometimes. I'll run them with High Evo sometimes. Having all three of them boosted this week, yeah, okay, good. This will take the edge off of the fact that I'm having to play Deadpool versus Marvel Puzzle Quest again. You feed Vulture Black, you let him farm AP, you throw the yellow at High Evolutionary so that he can tank over Kang, and then he basically beats up the enemy up front while Kang gets ready to throw his blue at the other enemies and just make them go poof. So yeah, that's what we're looking at. Listen to me now. And smell your yellier. This has been the Boosted segment brought to you by Mystify.
All right, we're going to skip over Pop Pop because Ian's not here and no one else knows anything about K-pop, but Ian, he's the master.
Ian is desperately trying to open Steam and he doesn't know why.
It's true. So let's open up some tokens. Who wants to hit that button?
I was going to do what I did last time. I'm just going to go until I get a 5-star.
All right, go ahead.
All right. Well, this is going to be a short one. I got a purple. It is Kane Parker, Scarlet Spider. So, hey, there's that. And I got 200 bonus shards from my Lady Octopus. That gets my Kane Parker to a 224 with 800 shards. So he's still got a little ways to go.
Is Kane rotating out?
Oh, I just noticed what you're doing. You're looking at who's rotating out.
Yeah, so Jubilee is going to rotate out. So you've got time for Kane.
Yeah, definitely.
You want me to open a couple?
Sure.
All right, I think I'll open two. I'm gonna hold on to them because I've got everyone champed at the moment. First one, that's a 4-star lizard, ectothermic. Ooh, but I got 100 bonus shards for Shuri. She is
close. Man, my brain wanted Craig to do lizard.
I thought about it.
Lizard. And the second one, it's a 4-star. It's a Shuri, Vibranium Tech. She is now at 353. I'm getting close to being able to ascend her.
Wow.
I will say, I have now run in. I ascended a couple of 4-stars when I shouldn't have before I realized, oh, you want to get both of them to 370 before you ascend to make sure you properly double dip on the rewards. I have run into a couple of 4-star crashes where I've had my character ascend it. And let me tell you, that is a whole different ball game. I don't care how weak your character is. Like if your Mantis is ascended and she goes into her crash, she's just going to go, oh, how cute. Bye-bye.
Okay.
So that's something to look forward to.
Quake. Gore. I forgot he was even
Gore, thinking. Gore.
Sheathor. War Machine. There's a 5-star. May Parker. Mayday. What was that, 5? Let's go with 5. Why not?
Okay. You're done?
Sure. That gets my May Parker to a 242.
I've had some fun with May when she's boosted. It's not quite, you know, get the red to fire her off and win, but she will take a chunk out of some beefy SCL-10 enemies with her red.
What'd you think of that trailer for that new Captain America movie, Falcon America?
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, really? You didn't go watch?
I haven't been yet.
Deadpool? That's interesting. I thought it was good. The fact that Harrison Ford playing Ross. I think mad Harrison Ford makes me happy. Like, so yeah, I don't know. I think it might be really good.
Yeah, it looks like it's got you know, the chance to be the first good movie in a little bit. The last couple of ones I've not been all that thrilled with.
Mm.
They're okay.
I went to see Doctor Strange in theaters, but most of the other ones I've just sort of been waiting until they show up on Disney Plus.
Yeah. I've seen them all in the theaters, but
yeah, the enthusiasm for seeing them in the theaters has waned a little bit for me post Endgame. I mean, I still enjoy them, but
and then there's a trailer for, you know, another Venom film because I need to not worry about watching that too.
Because Sony needs to keep the rights to that.
Yeah, and what, they got Kraven coming out at some point too, right?
I heard it's coming up. I haven't really looked at it at all.
Yeah, so I'm sure we'll go see those. I don't expect them to be good, but.
Oh, hey, I was going to also mention, bring this up again. I know we talked about it last week, but the Taco Token Community Challenge. So I've been trying to play my Deadpool dailies using Deadpool and Wolverine to get those, you know, extra bonus taco points. Just, you know, trying to do my little part. It looks like we've already surpassed Tier 3. The total is currently at 24.5 million tacos. We need to get to 50 million tacos, so we're not even halfway there.
Mm. How many days are left?
August 11th. So
yeah, so through Sunday.
Like 4 days. So I don't think we're getting Tier 5, but yeah. Tier 4 is a possibility, maybe. I don't know. So just throwing that out there. Maybe everybody start using your Deadpool and Wolverines in your daily Deadpool quests.
Yeah. I've been trying to remember to use a Wolverine. I use both Deadpools every day when I do my Deadpool dailies. Because yeah, I want the Deadpool points and I want the you know, whatever token you get for using the other one.
For a ghost pool?
Yeah. So.
Yeah, just thought I'd throw it out there and mention it again.
Okay. But thanks then to this guy.
Oh, yeah.
This guy.
He's not here, but hey, on the podcast network, there's many podcasts. Some feature Ray and other people. Lots of them are about wrestling. There you go. I generally only listen to Longbox Heroes, Longbox Heroes After Dark, and Atod's Wrestling. So your other ones may vary. Anything else for the good of the order?
Yeah, speaking of wrestling, yes. Tomorrow night, UNCTV is premiering a documentary called, I should have had this ready to go. When Giants Walked Here. It is a documentary on the history of pro wrestling at Dorton Arena in Raleigh. I'm sure it will be available in the wider network for anyone who's got like PBS Passport or something. But yeah, if you're in the area, check it out. It's supposed to be really good, and there's just going to be a lot of classic like NWA and early WCW wrestling in that.
Blackpink is in your area.
I don't know that it is, but okay.
All right, there you go. Check that out, and I'm sure Joe will listen. I'm sure he will like documentary on obscure old wrestling. Interesting. All right, I think that's it then. Thanks everybody for joining in this week. Thanks to Samurai for chipping in while Ian is out of the country.
Always a pleasure.
If comments, suggestions, shoot them into Willie's mailbag, and we'll go over the board game results next week and bring back a double shot of some cold pop. But if you want to throw us a bone in the meantime, go to our webpage, click on the Amazon banner, and buy yourself something there before the holidays. So goodbye for now, and remember, kids, she's a restless spirit on an endless flight. Good night, everybody.
Arrivederci.
Good night.